Morning, everybody. I'm not so sure whether I'm just talking to you people here or whether I'm talking to people on Facebook, but whatever. The reading this morning is from Matthew chapter 14, verses 13 to 21. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." Jesus replied, "They don't need to go away. You give them something to eat." "But we've only got 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish," they answered. "Bring them here to me," he said. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. When he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people, they all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides women and children. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. There is one thing that all people have in common, no matter what nationality, religion, colour or race they are, and that is the experience of great emotions. No matter where you go, no matter what culture, the people share in the great human emotions of joy, grief, love, hatred, jealousy, pride, anger, compassion. One of the most stressful and traumatic of these that we ever have to suffer is the death of a loved one. We feel sorry when we hear of the death of anyone, but when the person who dies is a relative or someone close to us, it affects us very deeply. And Jesus is no different from us in that respect. And while he was here on earth, he experienced the full range of human emotions, just as we do. And he was also deeply moved by the death to those close to him. We told of the time when he hears of the death of his very dear friend Lazarus, and Jesus makes a long journey to be at the side of the sisters of Lazarus and share in their grief. And when he arrived, he finds that Lazarus has already been buried. And in one of the most moving verses in the Bible, we are told, Jesus wept. He wept for his own grief, and also for the grief of the sisters of Lazarus. Now this morning's reading is the familiar story of the feeding of the 5,000. But instead of concentrating on the miracle itself, I want to look at Jesus at this time. In the verses just previous to our text, we're told that Jesus had just learnt of the execution of his cousin John the Baptist. John had gone before Jesus telling everyone who Jesus was and calling them to follow him. Jesus had great love and respect for his cousin, and now he hears that John has been cruelly executed. King Herod had ordered that John be killed and his head brought to him on a silver platter. Hearing the news, Jesus gets into a boat in order to travel across the lake to a solitary place where he can go up into the hills and retreat to pray and to mourn. Like any of us, he wanted a time to grieve, a time to rest, a time alone with his memories of his cousin and his friend. But the people of the district could see where his boat was going, and they hurried round to meet him. When Jesus saw the crowd of perhaps 5,000 men plus women and children, he realised that these people had walked all the way around the lake to follow him, and he knew that they were weary and ill and full of needs. And so despite his personal grief, Jesus sets aside his personal feelings and begins to minister healing to the people. The text says he had compassion on them. And we can see that. Even though he and his disciples had tried to get away and have a time of rest, solitude and mourning, he wasn't bitter or resentful towards the multitudes of people who'd heard about him and followed him on foot from the surrounding towns and villages. When he saw them, he wasn't mad at them, but rather he welcomed them. Even in his grief and his need to mourn his cousin John, he felt strongly and deeply for them. But not only did he feel love and compassion for them, he also demonstrated his concern by his actions as he taught them and healed their sick. Even though he was tired and grieving and needed rest, he welcomed them and gave himself for them, continuing to minister to them until it was evening. His great concern was not to avoid the situation. His great concern was the people and their needs. As evening approached and the sun began to set, and the people were hungry, and the disciples realized there was no food locally, they asked Jesus to wind up the session and send the people away. But Jesus doesn't want to send anyone away. He says to his disciples, "You feed them." "But we've only got 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. The disciples objected because they simply didn't have the resources to feed so many people. And when he turned to the disciples and told them to give them the people something to eat, it was an expression of his real, genuine concern for the people who come to him. He cared about people's needs. People mattered to him more than his own situation, even more than the seeming impossibility of meeting the needs of those same people. But Jesus had a plan. He instructed the disciples to sit the people down in groups of 50. That was very wise because it helped them to organize and administer the food distribution. He then takes the 5 loaves and 2 fishes that a young boy has offered, and after blessing the food, Jesus passes it out to his disciples. They in turn pass it out to someone within each group, who in turn passes it to the others. 5 loaves become 15 loaves, become 50 loaves, and then become 500 loaves. And after everyone has eaten their fill, the disciples collect 12 baskets of leftover bread. So here we see the compassion of Jesus in his instructions to the disciples to meet the need. And here we see the heart of Jesus to address the situation. Now, we need to be very clear about what happened on that Jordanian hillside. Jesus is grieving for the loss of John the Baptist. He is weary and he's travelled to an out-of-the-way place so that he can find some solitude, a place where no one will put any demands on him. To put it in modern terms, Jesus is seeking a place and an opportunity to have some me time. Here's a situation when Jesus could quite legitimately say, "Oh please, I'm tired, I'm sad, I'm mourning my cousin, I'm really not in the mood. I'd love to preach to you some other day. I'd be glad to pray for you when your sickness is then. Please let me have some private time." But Jesus wouldn't send anyone away. Jesus didn't turn people away that day, and he doesn't turn people away today. Although Jesus is committed to helping and serving any who have needs, not every need is met in the way that we think it should. Very often we're going to have to trust that God knows our real needs better than we do. Sometimes we think we want something, and then when we get it, it disappoints us. I know myself of a time when I craved for a new job, and when I got it, it was the worst job I ever had. I dreaded going to the office every day. Sometimes we may desperately wish for a new house, and when we get it, we find that the neighbours are terrible, the streets noisy, and the local school is a joke. So often the way we approach situations doesn't bring the results we think it will. We have to trust that God knows our needs and he knows the best way to fulfil them. And Jesus can do this in ways that the world never can. The world meets the need, but very often it comes back. Hunger, thirst, loneliness, we try to deal with them, but they all come back. But Jesus transforms the need. He gives living bread, living water. He ensures that you will never be alone again. This morning's story clearly says that every need was filled. It says that men, women, and children were all satisfied. But I believe we see something else here in this incident. We see Jesus teaching the disciples a very important principle. He's demonstrating the way that the disciples are to act after he's gone. I believe he's teaching each one of us that we too should follow his example here. The importance of the lessons of this miracle on a hillside is emphasized by the fact that this is one of the very few incidents that's recorded in all four of the Gospels. The Holy Spirit ensured that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all recorded it. The lesson we're to learn is that it's the heart of Jesus to involve others to meet the need. Jesus involved his disciples in the meeting of the need of the vast crowd. He could have done a different sort of miracle and ensured that none of the people felt hungry. But he didn't do that. He took the lunch basket of a small boy and he used that. I can't imagine that when the boy's mother packed his lunch that day, she ever thought that it would be used to feed a multitude. But he also involved the disciples to show that he wants to involve each one of us in helping others in their problems. Jesus used each one in distribution. He gave the loaves to the disciples, and the disciples gave to the multitudes. No disciple had to feed the entire crowd, just 10 groups or so. No disciple was left standing around doing nothing. We see that each disciple had a miracle taking place within his hands. They had 12 baskets left. So one didn't have to run over to another group saying, "My bread's running out, give me some of yours." Each disciple had sufficient supply for their own group, and none of the baskets became empty. The point is that Jesus wants to use us to meet needs. But of course, we do exactly what the disciples did. We think in terms of who we are and what we can do. Maybe you think that you're the sort that doesn't really like to get involved. After all, there's others who are better at this sort of thing than I am. Maybe you think it's not really my gifting. It's not what I feel comfortable doing. Or maybe you think that you're busy enough as it is, and you certainly haven't got time for doing anything more. Or maybe like the disciples, we look at what we have and think we don't have enough, and so we turn our back on the problem. But as I said earlier, we have to learn that not all needs are satisfied in the obvious way. We have to learn that God can use us, whoever we are, to meet the situation. The disciples didn't multiply the bread. Jesus did. When I'm preaching, I'm not preaching alone. When I'm talking with people, I'm not talking alone. Jesus is with me. However, it is true that if you are a Christian, Jesus can use you more easily. And that's because as a Christian, you have a deeper relationship with Jesus and you're more open to hear him and to receive from him. But having said that, Jesus can use anyone who's willing to be used. It doesn't matter who you are or what you are. Jesus can and will use you if you'll listen and if you'll let him. But you don't have to do it on your own. Jesus can be with you too. You don't have to meet every need. Jesus didn't meet every need. During the 3 years of Jesus' ministry, there were many people who were not healed. There were many poor people in Israel who weren't there that day on the hillside to receive bread. But Jesus can work through each one of us to minister to the people that are there. Every one of us, without exception, does come across situations in which we can help. In such situations, we should have the heart of Jesus, the heart that puts aside our hurts, our needs, and meets the needs of others. If we get nothing else out of this incident we've been looking at this morning, I do hope we'll gain the confidence and the conviction that each and every one of us has the ability to help others. Jesus still has compassion on the people, all of the people. Jesus still uses those who are willing. We just have to make sure that we are willing to be used. Amen.